Production support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop and goodsforcooks.com. Online at goodsforcooks.com. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU and Indiana Public Media.
Real food, green living.
Real food, green living.
Earth Eats.
Earth Eats.
Fall is definitely setting in across the Midwest, and that means that walnuts are dropping from trees and littering the streets. We make two condiment recipes today that feature the earthy taste of walnuts, black walnut and maple butter, and Lefty's black walnut vinaigrette. But first, here's Liz Leslie with a look at this week's news.
The Freaky Fast Farm Bill is still in the works, according to members of Congress. The bipartisan supercommittee charged with drafting a new 2012 farm bill missed their own self-imposed deadline of November 1st, but they say they are close to drafting a new bill. The speed of the bill, about 2 weeks, means less chance for input by the public or the Obama administration. However, a group of Ohio farmers flew to D.C. anyway to make their voices heard about organic and local family farms. Stay tuned for further updates as the bill nears completion. In other news, this just in, fizzy drinks are still bad for you. That's what new studies released this week have said, one targeting obesity in Illinois, the other targeting marketing to youth. Why the sudden sugar studies? Analysts point to the upcoming farm bill. Advocates want their say before the final draft. And the FDA announced they would undertake a study about the presence of salmonella in pet food. Salmonella not only affects the pet's health, but can be passed to the owner as well. The FDA warns pet owners to wash their hands after handling pet food of any kind, from dog to hamster, and keep small children away from pet dishes. You can read more news updates and get the latest in food news on our website, eartheats.org. And be sure to keep an eye on our Twitter feed and on our Facebook page. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Liz Leslie.
America's bats are in trouble. In parts of the Northeast U.S., their numbers have decreased by 97%. Now, researchers are bracing for the possibility of massive population declines in the Midwest as well. As Harvest Public Media's Tim Lloyd reports, losing a big part of Mother Nature's pest control crew could prove costly for farmers.
Shelley Cox scaled a rusty metal gate and made her way toward a small creek lined by hollow trees. It's the favorite hangout for her summer guests, migrating bats.
I come down here and sit.
Cox and her husband farm 86 acres just outside of Savannah, Missouri. And she's kind of got a soft spot for what she calls nature's underdogs.
They're huge at insect control. Like I was saying, if you come in and you use insecticides and pesticides every single year, they are not species specific. So they're not just killing that target insect that's harming your crops. They're killing all insects. Well, if you're wiping out all the insects, you're wiping out the bat population. It's kind of one of those vicious cycles. How much money do you want to spend on pesticides?
And it's worked for you so far.
Oh, yeah. For, like I said, in 15 years, we've used pesticides twice. So, yeah, it's been hugely beneficial.
But that could change soon, because the forecast for America's bat population isn't looking good.
You've already lost 70% of the bats that are hibernate in the northeastern U.S., and that includes New England and New York State.
Thomas Kuntz is a bat researcher at Boston University.
There are large colonies of bats in the Midwest. There's going to be some pretty massive die-offs there, I'd say, in 3 years.
So to get a handle on what a massive population decline might mean, Kuntz started running the numbers. Based on previous research he did in Texas, Kuntz paired estimates for how many bugs bats eat with crop data from the USDA. And here's what he came up with.
3.7 billion to 53 billion was what we published in the journal Science.
Yes, you did hear that correctly. Kuntz estimates bats could be worth up to $53 billion a year to America's farmers.
The dollar value is what bats save farmers in lowered pesticide use. So farmers would have to spend that much more on pesticides.
Okay, but let's take a big step back. What is killing all these bats? Well, it's mostly attributed to a very weird fungus that turns into something called white nose syndrome, named after the white face it gives bats. Once a bat has the fungus, it takes around 3 years to fully develop into white nose. And when it does, the effects are pretty nasty. Hibernating bats with the syndrome wake up often, fly around, and burn up their fat reserves. Deaths are mostly caused by simple exhaustion. As bad as white nose is, there's a lesser threat from an unexpected source, wind power. It's the reason why student researcher Janelle Bocock is holding one very cranky evening bat.
So the band number BRRA3317? All right.
What the student workers are doing today is doing a survey to determine if the endangered Indiana bat is present in an area that is slated to become a wind energy facility.
Lynn Robbins is a bat researcher at Missouri State University. He consults wind companies as to what threat a new facility might pose to the endangered Indiana bat.
And if they're here, then the wind company must take the next step in being more careful as to where they put their turbines or determine whether they're even going to put the turbines in the area.
The proposed wind farm would be built in northwest Missouri. Robbins, however, can't give the exact location because of contractual obligations. For reasons that remain unknown, bats are attracted to turbines that tower above tree lines. Once they're close, the pressure drop around the spinning blades can crush their lungs, or they can just get smacked by the spinning blades. And while the risk of killing an endangered Indiana bat might slam the brakes on a proposed wind farm, finding another species isn't likely to slow down a project. Ed Arnett is a researcher participating in the Bats Wind Energy Cooperative.
There's a gradient of contribution and acceptance of wildlife impacts and what companies are doing about it.
The effort Arnett is a part of brings together conservation groups, the American Wind Energy Association, and federal agencies. The idea is to pull together research that companies can use to sidestep killing bats at future wind facilities. And right now, every little effort helps. Back at Cox's farm, tucked in the hills of northwest Missouri, she's already noticed a change.
Well, we were seeing maybe like in a given evening, you might see a dozen or so swooping around the lights or something. And now, last year, we were seeing maybe, four or five. You know, I mean, you don't know whether to get worried or whether to think, okay, well, maybe I'm just not out here at the right time. Or, you know, maybe I'm out here too early or I'm out here too late. Or maybe they're down here foraging. If you don't really know what's going on, you hate to kind of be a catastrophizer and say, oh my gosh. But yes, I have noticed a difference, you know, in the number that I typically would see at the lights at night.
She says it would not shut down her operation if bats were to suddenly disappear, but they'd sure feel it. And with rising input costs on the farm, Cox says the money bats help her save goes a long way. Tim Lloyd, Harvest Public Media.
Read and listen to more from the folks at Harvest Public Media on their website, harvestpublicmedia.org. To get started with our first recipe today, Chef Daniel Orr collected these walnuts from his house in Columbus, Indiana.
And, you know, they have these hard green husks on them, and then when they break open, there's a lot of black kind of goo in there. They actually used to make ink out of that in the olden days. What you do is we hang these up in our garage in a big bag like this, kind of letting the air flow through them, and they cure, and then you get these beautiful meats that take ages and ages to pick, but they're so delicious. They have a completely different flavor than the English walnuts. And what you need to keep them in the fridge or the freezer once you clean them, because they will go rancid on you fairly quickly. But if you keep them in the freezer, they'll last for a year or two.
Before we get cooking, we need to toast the walnuts. This intensifies the flavor and makes them crispier.
So what you're doing is you're getting some of the moisture out of the nut, and you're also concentrating the essential oils and toasting them and making them more fragrant. So you want to do that fairly slowly. The big thing about toasting nuts is they go from brown to black in seconds flat. So you've really got to be careful. And I like to do it, you know, in an oven. And then what you can do is set a timer so you go like back every 2 or 3 minutes and check them. Because you get started on the phone or texting somebody and you're going to forget all about them. The one thing you don't want to do, a lot of people when they do, let's say they put them under a broiler and they forget about them, they start to get black, and they throw the whole tray away. Usually you can just pull those ones off the top and the rest of them are still good. And nuts are really expensive, so you want to make sure that you don't burn them too many times.
Now that they're toasted, we can start working with them. Our first recipe is for a black walnut and maple butter.
So basically, what we're going to do is I've got some butter that I left out overnight, so it's nice and soft. And I'm just going to put that in a bowl.
That is a whole pound of butter,
is
that right?
This is a whole pound of butter. But what we're going to do is we're going to make this into a roll, and then we can keep it in the freezer or the refrigerator, and then you can use it, you know, all winter long. So it's something that will last a long time. To that pound of butter, I'm going to add about a cup of black walnuts. just a pinch of salt because this was unsalted butter. And then I'm going to add some lemon zest. Lemon zest is that finely grated rind of the lemon, and that's going to give a really nice citrus punch to it. I'm going to add some of our wonderful local maple syrup from Burton's Maple Camp.
Now, is this grade A or grade B?
This is grade B, which has a little more aggressive flavor, and I'm going to add about a quarter of a cup. And then I'm going to add just a little bit of lemon juice. And the acidity will bring out a lot of that nice flavor, cut a little bit of the sweetness of the maple syrup. And then we're just going to mix that together. And we're going to put it out on a piece of parchment paper. You could also use plastic wrap. I'm going to put a little bit in a dish over here, because I've had one of my guys making some pancakes for us to try it on.
No way, really?
So we're going to roll this up. And we're just going to twist the ends and make it like a little, kind of looks like a bonbon or some kind of a little candy. And then you put this in the fridge or the freezer, and it's going to harden up, and then you can slice it and use it anytime you want. And you can enjoy your black walnuts all winter long. And you can flavor a lot of different butters. If you have chives that you want to use up at the end of the season, you can just mix it into some butter and roll it just like this. So there are a lot of different flavorings you could add to butter. All right, so we're just going to put a little bit of that black walnut butter on top of some of our wheat germ pancakes. Drizzle it with a little bit of maple syrup. And there we go. Let's give it a try.
Those wheat germ pancakes are made with flour, sour cream, melted butter, eggs, and baking powder to give them some fluff. Boy, they were amazing. Check out the photo of this tasty breakfast dish on our website, eartheats.org. If you don't feel comfortable collecting walnuts on your own, check out the local farmer's market. I found a vendor who cracks the walnuts for his customers with a special machine right at his table. That's the sound of a walnut cracking, and then you've got the meat on the inside.
Yeah, see, and it also gives me the advantage of seeing whether it's a good meat or not. See, this one's too wrinkled, so I won't sell that one. So this is another way of screening them before I sell them to people. I make sure that they get good quality nut meats this way.
Tracy Branham forages for walnuts at his father-in-law's property in southern Monroe County. As he describes, walnuts are harder to prepare than people might realize.
You have to get them while the hull on them is still green. Then you have to get the hull off, which typically for a large operation, if it's a commercial operation, they have hauling machines. But for myself, I have to use a truck and a driveway. You just run over the hulls, and then when they come off, you take a rake and rake out the shell, the nut itself. Then you have to wash them off, because you want to get as much of that hull off as you can, otherwise it will absorb in and make the nut meat bitter. And the other, while you're washing them, any of them that float, you throw away because they have no nut meat in them. So floating is sort of a way to screen out the bad ones. And then you take the ones that are sinking and get them all clean. Then you have to dry them in the sun for a couple of weeks. Then you have to bag them up and let them cure for about another month. And at that point, they're ready to crack.
Hear more interviews with local foragers and farmers on our website, WFIU.org. This simple recipe for a vinaigrette dressing is a great way to highlight fresh greens.
We've got two different oils here. I've got a blended salad oil, which we're going to turn into a walnut-flavored oil. And then we have the extra virgin olive oil, which, of course, we're not going to heat at all. We want to keep that perfume on its own. So we've got a nice hot pan over here. We're going to add the oil to that. And we're going to add the black walnuts, which we've chopped. And we're going to heat them in the oil. They're going to start to bubble and foam a little bit. And what they're going to do is release some of their essential oils into the neutral salad oil that we had, perfuming it, making it a black walnut oil. You want to cook them just until they start to turn brown and nutty. And they will go from brown to black fairly quickly. So take them off the heat, and we're going to pour that into our pan. Okay, just pouring that into a mixing bowl. You smell that black walnut aroma? To me, it smells kind of the wood, kind of earthy and perfect for those astringent bitter greens. We've got some extra virgin olive oil, some lemon juice, a little bit of fresh thyme, some minced garlic. Okay, we're going to add some scallions, a little bit of salt and pepper, and some mustard. The mustard's going to help emulsify the dressing. To show off this little salad, we have this nice little rockcat arugula. So just take a couple spoonfuls. Okay, then we're just going to toss that. And then to play off the black walnut flavor, we're going to add some local goat cheese. I'm going to decorate this with a little bit of diced tomatoes. And you have a nice, simple salad. Make a great lunch with a nice, crusty loaf of bread or a good starter at dinner time.
Print off these walnut recipes from our website and try them for yourself. While you're online, check out our blog. We've welcomed aboard a number of new contributors. Join the conversation at eartheats.org. Get foodie updates all week long by friending us on Facebook, facebook.com/eartheats. And don't miss a single podcast from Earth Eats by subscribing on iTunes. Learn how online, eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.